Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity for us to share about our work in understanding the integration of community health workers and team member roles in the healthcare home in Minnesota. So we have no relationships to disclose. These are our learning objectives, which should be in the online materials as well. So the healthcare home model is Minnesota's patient-centered medical home, essentially. So Minnesota was a little bit ahead of the kind of policy initiative curve and passed legislation in 2008 and began implementing healthcare home certification around the state in January of 2010. And so the healthcare home, according to the Department of Health, is an approach to primary care in which primary care providers, families, and patients work in partnership to improve health outcomes and quality of life for individuals with chronic health conditions and disabilities. So the intended benefit is really to support patients with chronic conditions by providing the right care at the right time in the right place. And there's a number of key requirements for certification, but the one we'll focus on today is that teams need to provide care coordination. And this is a shift for many clinics to shift to team-based care and provide this new function of coordinating care. There are payment incentives that the state provides, tiered payments based on patient complexity and modifiers for mental illness and non-English speaking designations. And currently 385 clinics have pursued and become certified as healthcare homes in the state. That's about half of all primary care clinics.
We have a little height differential here. Why study healthcare homes? Well, the ACA supports the implementation of patient-centered medical homes, known as healthcare homes in Minnesota, and that's really accelerated the rollout of this transformative primary care model across the United States. Minnesota has a head start in implementing healthcare homes as a result of our 2008 state health reform legislation. Our pilot research begins to fill a gap in understanding the drivers of healthcare home composition in Minnesota, where data on healthcare home team makeup is not currently collected by our state health department, which certifies healthcare homes. Now, empirical evidence supports the role of CHW integration, the value of CHW integration, but fewer than 10% of Minnesota's healthcare homes are known to employ CHWs. So this was a big impetus for our study. So until we understand the on-the-ground issues that influence the development of a clinic's specific team care approach, roadblocks to mitigating health disparities and chronic disease outcomes through primary care redesign are likely to continue. Let's just take a moment to look at the widely adopted chronic care model that was developed by Dr. Ed Wagner at the McCall Institute of Healthcare Innovation at Group Health Cooperative of Puget Sound. How many folks have seen this model before? So a lot of familiarity with that. It identifies key areas that form a system to encourage high-quality chronic disease management. And the model is applicable to a variety of chronic disease conditions, healthcare settings, and target populations. So in connection with this study, we've adapted the model to reflect the potential for CHW involvement that you see starred on the schematic.
All right, so the aims of our study in particular, there's a lot to cover, so this will be a bit superficial, but our aim was to determine the drivers of healthcare home team structure and composition for supporting chronic disease management among disparities populations. So of these clinics that are becoming certified, how did they structure their teams and why did they make that decision? And then looking specifically at barriers and facilitators to community health worker integration among healthcare homes, looking at both the clinics with and without community health workers. And then finally, to identify what roles are community health workers filling when they are incorporated into healthcare home teams. So our study design, we performed a qualitative study. We enrolled 9 healthcare home clinics in Minnesota in both the Twin Cities metro area and rural areas. We focused on clinics that were serving low-income and diverse communities to try to minimize some heterogeneity in patient population, and since this is a place where we know community health workers can have a lot of effectiveness. The clinics varied between being a clinic as part of a large health system to being an independent federally qualified health center. And we had, in our study, 5 clinics that employed community health workers and 4 that did not. So we conducted 51 in-depth individual interviews with administrators, clinicians, community health workers, and other staff from each clinic. And we used general inductive qualitative methods to analyze our data. So our first aim was to determine the drivers of healthcare home team structure and composition. And these were the drivers that we found after our interviews: leadership structure and style, perceived need for innovation, readiness for implementation, perceived patient needs, and sustainability. So leadership structure and style was a driver in how clinics chose their team composition and structure. And one of these, the important pieces of this was having an internal champion or someone within the clinic that was a leader championing a particular role, such as a community health worker, or a particular model of team-based care. So for example, a care coordinator from a non-community health worker clinic said, "I think name was our super motivated driving force, and I think it literally took her continually cramming team-based care down people's throats at the beginning that this is a new way of thinking, this is a new way of working with our patients, and it took until they saw a reward." Another care coordinator supervisor from a community health worker clinic said, "So leadership, again, people who were passionate about their cause and did the presentations through administration, showed the value, talked to folks in other clinics that were utilizing community health workers, showing the evidence, having the program at the technical college, doing the hard work of writing the grants and getting the funding, and working through workarounds for the issues we couldn't figure out." The second driver was the perceived need for innovation that these clinics had. So the healthcare home certification guidelines are really just a checklist. You need care coordination, you need an electronic health record, check, check. And so this leads to a lot of variety within team structures as teams figure out how to make that work on the ground. And so one clinician had said, our clinic leader said, "The healthcare home gives us an anatomy of a healthcare home model. It doesn't give us the physiology of what happens. It's up to us to define the physiology." And so this variety really led to potential for this perception of innovation to take effect. And the clinic leadership's awareness and perception of innovation was very important. For example, regarding the community health worker role, it was almost critical that there had been some prior experience of leadership with the community health worker role. So a medical director from a non-community health worker clinic who had not experienced a community health worker before said, "I don't know what is the difference between the community health worker and the case managers." Exactly that, the exact same things the case managers are doing for us. Whereas a clinic manager from a community health worker clinic had said, "At a prior clinic, a patient, he wanted to lose weight, and the community health worker had him come in once a week, and she got the whole clinic involved. He lost like 80 pounds within a year, just with her health coaching." Stuff like that happens a lot with community health workers because of that relationship. So you can see the difference in this perceived need for innovation based on prior experience. The third driver is readiness for implementation. And part of this is the perceived complexity of new roles that a clinic leadership saw. For example, the need to hire new care coordinators was seen as less complex, perhaps, if they could just hire from within by moving someone from the front desk staff or an RN, a nurse, into the care coordinator role. That's what some clinics chose to do versus the complexity of hiring brand new hires within the clinic. And there was also concern about the complexity of supervision of these expanded responsibilities of people in new roles working at the height of their licensure. And so a clinic leader from a non-community health worker clinic said, "You know, a barrier would kind of be figuring out the needs around supervision for community health workers. It sounds good and pretty straightforward on the surface, but it's pretty complicated. You don't want to throw people in situations they're not able to handle or equipped to. It's more having adequate supervision available." So really a barrier from his perspective was just not feeling comfortable with how to structure supervision. Whereas another perspective was the ability to pilot this new innovation, for example, the community health worker role, and having this trial period to demonstrate effectiveness and to build trust within the clinic and to prove to larger, higher up decision makers that this was a good innovation to embrace. And so one medical director at the community health worker clinic said, "And then I put together a talk about the work of that grant and where we started and where it led, and I had some facts and figures. So I think that getting the word out to the leadership about what is a community health worker, why do we need them, that was an important piece." The fourth driver for team structure and composition were perceived patient needs. So how did a clinic view what their patient population needed? Through which lenses did they look? a medical director at a community health worker clinic put it. The other things we have to think about is also how do you define diversity? And so we have the age diversity, we even have our obese population or different interests. There are multiple initiatives in regards to not only ethnic diversity, but diversity at large to try to embrace that in our practice. So different lenses that we saw clinics using were a psychosocial lens or thinking about social determinants of health of their patient population. Clinics definitely thought about medical complexity in figuring out how to structure their teams. They thought about the needs around language and culture. They looked at how to work with the community around their clinic and also thought about home visit needs. So how could some of their clinic team members be the eyes and ears of the clinic out in the community? And finally, this idea of sustainability as a driver for team composition and structure. So how do you create sustainable staffing? The billing for new roles through the healthcare home certification was one advantage that people took advantage of as far as getting reimbursed for these new care coordination roles. And there are also differing perceptions of long-term sustainability. For example, the benefits of community health workers and return on investments. And we saw some clinics that sort of had a traditional view of long-term sustainability and sort of being comfortable with the hiring of nurses and medical assistants that they had worked with previously, and that it felt like too big of a risk to take on a completely new workforce member innovation. For example, a medical director from a non-community health worker clinic said, "So I was thinking of sustainability and figuring that I was always going to have nurses here. I wouldn't always have community health workers, even though they're cheaper. They're also easier to let go if they only have a single function." So that was the barrier that this medical director saw. Versus another clinic that had community health workers, that had a very kind of forward-thinking perspective into the benefits that community health workers could provide on top of their other nurses and social workers and medical assistants to add an additional role that would help support patients. And so this healthcare home director of a community health worker clinic said, "To be able to say we won't ask this team to do care coordination in between other things, that there will be someone fully dedicated to that work to support and be a part of the team was a huge win. The use of community health workers makes that a little bit more financially sustainable." And so her perspective was really forward thinking and adding additional roles on top of who was already there to provide better support for their patients. So thinking specifically about barriers and facilitators to community health worker integration among healthcare homes, we see a lot of the same themes as those for the larger team drivers for team composition and structure. So barriers that we saw were a lack of awareness and knowledge of the community health worker role. So if administrators had no prior experience, they were not likely to choose that innovation. There was also a perception that their current model was working, and why shake the boat? So clinic decision makers were satisfied with the status quo. They hadn't connected. Actually, we saw this a number of times. Identifying gaps in their current team and what care they were providing to their patients, but not making the connection that community health workers might be a perfect fit for filling that gap. And also feeling that their clinic perhaps was as good enough as it was or sufficient by hiring bilingual nurses, translators, or having a robust patient advisory board. Another barrier to community health workers was a lack of community health worker supervision capacity and know-how. So clinic administrators favored the familiarity of a known clinic team discipline, such as a medical assistant or a nurse. And there was uncertainty about role delineation and management structure. Another was the perception of risk in hiring a new community health worker team member, concerns about sustainability, scope, and supervision, and that nurses and medical assistants were sometimes viewed as being more flexible team members. And then finally, the complexity of change process in the health system. If this was a clinic as part of a larger health system, these clinician leaders often felt a bit that their hands were tied to make large, innovative decisions without the approval of the broader umbrella of administration. The facilitators for clinics who had successfully implemented community health workers into their team was the importance of an internal champion. So all of our community health worker clinic sites had a clinician and administrator champion. And these champions brought awareness of the potential for the role and also really worked hard to get that role incorporated into the team. Grant funding to trial the community health worker program was also critical. clinics that had successfully incorporated community health workers needed this grant funding to pilot this new innovation, to prove its value, and also to build trust among the other team members who weren't as familiar with community health workers. And they also used this grant funding as an opportunity for the staff to experience community health workers and receive reduced perceived risks and increased observable benefits. And finally, another facilitator was the perception of diversity of patient population and needs. So clinics who had a more broad psychosocial lens in viewing their patient population were more likely to see the benefit of community health workers. And they also felt the need to address barriers in their patient population related to culture, language, literacy, income, and psychosocial needs. So what roles were community health workers filling in these healthcare home teams? Community health workers were serving as care coordinators in these clinics, often as part of a triad of a nurse, a social worker, and a community health worker, sometimes with a nurse or social worker providing some sort of supervision. The community health worker served as a community-based liaison to the healthcare home team, serving as the eyes and the ears in the patient home and bringing that information back to the healthcare home team. They served as a link between community social service agencies and the clinic. They served as a cultural liaison between the provider and the patient, the clinic, and community. And they served as a navigator, an advocate, and a coach. And so feedback from healthcare home team members who were utilizing community health workers, those team members recognized community health worker value. For example, a care coordination supervisor said, "Our community members would try to get patients into care coordination just for the benefit of the community health worker services." And a medical director at a community health worker clinic said, "I honestly think the addition of community health worker care guides has been all benefit." And we heard from community health workers themselves, who demonstrated their passion for patient-centered teamwork. A community health worker said, "If there's a concern about a patient, the provider's concern is my concern. So they're very directive in that way of, I'm glad you're here. Thank God you're here. Here's my problem. Help me." So when physicians buy into this service, they buy into your trust. And another one said, "I'm pretty passionate about what I do. I laugh because I always tell everybody, I finally realize what I want to be when I grow up. I've had jobs where I make more money. It's not about the money. It's about the passion. It really is. I always get teared up when I think about this. I'm the luckiest person in the world because I get to do what I love to do."
Well, in the next minute, we're going to wrap up our presentation here. Among our key findings are that CHWs are playing very useful roles as part of primary care teams, and this positive experience drives CHW program growth, so much so that several of the healthcare homes that do employ CHWs now have over 20 CHWs on their teams. Certainly, as Beth mentioned, the trial period is critical for embracing innovation and embedding the role. And then the perception about new CHW hires and CHW supervision is often reliant on previous exposure, previous positive exposure and experience. So we invite you to have some discussion with us about these action steps. Certainly first, state-level policies for implementing healthcare homes can influence CHW integration. How? By expanding awareness and understanding of the CHW role and its benefits. Providing incentives and opportunities to pilot the CHW role is suggested by our findings. Offering CHW supervisor training to build understanding, skills, and confidence around this role. Increasing clinic decision maker recognition of health equity and team accountability for health equity on healthcare homes. And establishing healthcare home measures for team cultural competence and equitable outcomes. So in closing, we'd like to thank our participating clinics, including CHWs, of course, our CHW Alliance participation and feedback, which had the first readout of our results and gaining their input on the interpretation, and then our team, our community research specialist, Sarah Manzer, and our research mentors. We'd love to connect with you and welcome your comments when we get to Q&A. Thank you.